Let's read that last verse again. And Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." Now, for the sake of a few that were not here Wednesday night, and for my sake, I want to go over some of this again. I told Mindy I didn't feel like I had much liberty, and at any rate, I thoroughly enjoyed looking at it once again. The story of Joseph revealing himself to his brethren is the gospel. This is salvation. It's the same with all of God's sons. All of the sons of God must have Christ revealed to them. "And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." So just as our Lord must reveal himself to us, that's what Joseph had to do. In verse 1, Joseph says, couldn't refrain himself. He caused every man to go out from him, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. That's what the Lord will do to everyone he speaks to you. He'll speak to you personally. You'll know that he's speaking to you. Verse 2, "And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it." And many hear the word, but having ears, they don't hear. But God's people do. They hear. Like the time that Paul, when the Lord revealed himself to Paul on the road to Damascus, there were some men with him, and they didn't hear what he said, but Paul did. The Lord revealed himself to Saul of Tarsus. And Joseph, verse 3, said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. I am Joseph. Does my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him. They were so terrified at his presence. They hadn't seen him in 23 years. They thought he was dead. And now he's very much alive, isn't he? Not only alive, but he has their life in his hands. Isn't that what Peter preached at Pentecost? That struck fear into 3,000 souls. And later, 5,000. And so it must be, and so it is with every one of the sons of God. They will fear the Lord first. And Joseph then said, verse 4, he said unto them, his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. He's not talking to the Egyptians. He's talking to his brethren. He says to his brethren, come near, come unto me. All that the Father giveth me, all the sons of the Father will come to Christ, won't they? They will come. He says, come near. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. And again, that's what Peter preached at Pentecost, didn't it? This same Jesus, whom you crucified with wicked hand, God made him Lord. In verse 5, Joseph said, don't be grieved, angry with yourselves. And every one of God's people, when they find out that they're sinners, they're grieved over their sins. But yet the Lord comforts us through the gospel, doesn't he? To everyone that fears him and everyone that grieves over their sins and everyone that confesses their sins like these brethren did, the Lord speaks comfort to their heart. And he says in verse 5, God did send me before you to preserve life. This is a faithful saying. That Christ came into the world, sent by the Father, to save sinners. Yes, the sorry sons of Jacob. Verse 6, he says, 2 years this famine had been in the land. And you know, famine, there's been a relative famine in the earth since the beginning of time, hasn't it? Drought. The Lord has always sent drought as a form of judgment. And it's a famine of bread. And our Lord said, and it happened many times, literally, but mostly spiritually. And our Lord said that to Hosea. He said, there will be a famine, not of bread. The hearing of the word, but not for God's people. Not God's people. They're going to be nourished. And they're going to be, I don't know how many more years we have on this earth, but there'll still be years of famine as far as the word goes, but not for us. Verse 7, but God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. Preserved from and in the midst of famine, we will be saved by the great salvation. Verse 8, now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. But God. It's not you, but God. And He hath made me a father to Pharaoh. You see that? Pharaoh represents God the Father here. In this story, Jacob represents every sinner, Jacob. Though he's called father by Joseph. But Pharaoh is going to represent God the Father. Because he's the one giving all the commands for Joseph to do concerning his brethren and concerning Jacob. But it says Pharaoh made me a father. And didn't God say, call his name, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father? Doesn't Hebrews 1:8 say, unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. God doesn't mind you calling him Father. His Son, that is. That's what Thomas said, and my Lord and my God. He's made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. That's what God has made the Lord Jesus Christ, said, Lord over all. Haste ye and go up to my Father. Verse 9. Go to my Father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me. Tarry not. Go to my Father. Go to Jacob and say unto him, God's made him Lord. And John wrote this, the Apostle John. In 1 John, he said, I write unto you fathers, because you've known him that was from the beginning. He said, I write unto you young men, because you've known him. And this is the message which every preacher is sent to preach, and every child of God is sent to tell everyone they tell the gospel. God hath made this Jesus Lord and Christ. Now, come down. Bow down before him. It's the same message. And we'll see in a moment, they went and told Jacob exactly what Joseph told them to say. And everyone must see the Son. They must see that He is. Everyone that cometh to God must believe that He is, that Christ is the only way to God, that He lives, and in Him we live and move and have our being. He's all that God demands of us, that He's everything. Now, the first book of Moses, as well as the next four and all of the Old Testament, is concerning Christ, isn't it? You know why there's so much room devoted to Joseph in this book? Because they testify of Christ. To the end of this book, Genesis, it ends with Joseph. It ends with Joseph. And Christ is the first and the last, he who was dead, yet alive forevermore. Verses 10 and 11. And he said to the brethren to go tell Jacob that he will dwell in the land of Goshen, he and his sons. They will dwell in the land of Goshen and be near unto the Son. Thou and thy children, our children's children. We're going to dwell. We do dwell. We saw that, didn't we? You're in the land of Goshen right now. The church. The Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. And that first church we read about in Acts 2 they had all things common. They were just so at peace and of one accord and daily together worshiping. And it was just a wonderful thing. And so is this church, the local church here on earth. Land of Goshen, and that certainly speaks of glory that we're going to go be in. Verse 11, there will I nourish thee. We're being nourished, aren't we? Fat things, wine on the lees. Throughout the famine, he's prepared us a table. Bread in the wilderness. Man eats, we eat angels' food. So that we won't come to poverty. If you come to him poor and needy, hungry and thirsty, you won't go away that way. You'll be filled. You'll be rich. Verse 12, he says that you see with your eyes. the eyes of my brother Benjamin, it's my mouth that speaketh unto you. That's what we were saying, weren't we? That we know and are sure that this is the Word of God. These aren't the words of men. This is God speaking to us in them. The very words of our God. And we are certain of that. Verse 13, and tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you've seen, and haste and bring down my father hither. Tell him of all my glory. Go home and tell what great things the Lord hath done for you. That's what the Lord tells us to do. To go home to whomever and tell what great things the Lord hath done for us, and tell whoever we come into contact with of His glory. And bring them. This is what Joseph is telling them to do. To bring Jacob to where they are. To see who they've seen. And that's what the Lord says to His disciples and us. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Now you go and you tell what you've been told. And you give what you have received. Freely you have received, freely give. And you go and you bring them. Bring them to see my glory. Bring them to hear my words. And verse 14 and 15, it says he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck. Oh, how the father loves his son. Supremely. You know, the rest of the brethren knew that, didn't it? They knew that Benjamin was the only innocent one of that bunch, didn't they? And when Joseph began to lavish all the things he did upon Benjamin, made his mess five times bigger, kissed him first, they didn't mind it. They knew he well deserved that. And so do the sons of God, the brethren of our Lord Jesus Christ. They know he's the only innocent one. He well deserves the praise. But yet, he reserves some kisses for the rest of us. Verse 15, moreover, he kissed all his brethren. He wept on all of them, Judah and Dan and Gad and Issachar and Zebulun and all of them. He fell on all their necks, Simeon and Levi and Reuben and all those fellas. All of them that sold him and all of them hated him and despised him and rejected him. They don't hate him now. They don't reject him now. They've received him by the grace of God. They bowed to Him. They believe Him. And they love Him. And they're thankful that He's alive now. Though they're scared. And this is how He's going to relieve their fears. He falls on their neck and kisses them all. And this is what the Shulamite maiden said in the Song of Solomon. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. You see, we all fear the Lord. When we first hear the gospel, we fear the Lord. And we think, this can't be for me. Like Jacob a little later, Jacob couldn't believe it. He just couldn't believe it. And the brethren couldn't either. But when Joseph finally fell on their necks, laid hold of them, and said, brethren, I'm Joseph. I'm not mad. I'm your brother. And he kissed them with the kisses of his mouth. He said, I'm not angry. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And God sent me. Oh, what a loving, kind, and gracious brother Joseph was. How much more our Lord Jesus Christ. And when finally the gospel, you know, we're afraid when we first hear it. And we fear it's not for us. And we fear He's going to cast us out. But at some point in the gospel, He's going to say unto your soul, I am thine. And you're mine. And He'll kiss you with His Word. Word of God is called a kiss. Called meat, milk, honey, bread, all these things. And a kiss. And sometimes, doesn't it? He kisses you and lets you know that you're His. He's not angry. He loves you. He loves you. And the fame, verse 16, the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house. And they said, Joseph's brethren have come. Joseph's brethren are come. The cry went out throughout all of Egypt. Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well. And all his servants. Everybody was so pleased that Joseph's brethren would come. And the Scripture says this. that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. One sinner repents. People in heaven don't know. God does. Right? So apparently, they know something that's going on here, don't they? We've often wondered that, don't we? It does say there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And they don't know who the elect are. God does. But they don't know. And all of a sudden, that's one sinner repents and bows a knee and confesses Christ and gets in that pool. And they say, so-and-so has come. So-and-so has come. And it pleased the Lord to make you His people. You know that? It pleased God to make us His people. And one of the verses of Scripture that just, it was a kiss to me. It was one of the first times He kissed me. The verse in Luke where He said, "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It's His good pleasure. You're not going to get in by the skin of your teeth. It's going to be an abundant entrance, like that prodigal son. Bring the best robe. He's going to run and fall on your neck and kiss you. If you repent by His grace, come to Christ. And the fame went everywhere. Pharaoh, verse 17, said unto Joseph, "Say unto thy brethren..." Now, look, Pharaoh represents God the Father, and he's telling Joseph to tell his brethren. So God tells our Lord, and He told us. See, God at sundry times spoke unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by the Son. He said. So, the words, Christ said, "The words that I speak to the Father." So, see, Joseph now is telling what Pharaoh said to tell. And here's what he said. "This do ye, say unto the brethren, this do ye, lade your beasts and go and get you into the land of Canaan and take your father," verse 18, "take your father and your household and come unto me and I'll give you the good of the land of Egypt and you'll eat the fat of the land." So the Father says through Christ the Son, "Come." Didn't He say that over in Isaiah? "Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come." Did He say that? Didn't Christ stand up in the latter day? "The Father told me to say, come." And the Spirit and the Bride, and they went back to Jacob and they said, "He said, come." Spirit and the Bride say, "Come. Let him that is thirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Take your father and bring him here. He's going to eat the good of the land of Egypt." He's starving now, isn't he? Old Jacob's back there alone, starving, while the brethren in Egypt just feasting. You know anybody starving? Go tell them about corn. There's corn in Egypt. And now this, verse 19, you're commanded. "This do ye, take wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little one, for your wives, and bring your father and come." Take wagon loads. I thought about this verse in Ephesians 1. "Oh, how God hath abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence, making known unto us the mystery of His will." When we first hear the gospel, we have sacks. We get little sack loads, don't we? We don't know much, but boy, we're thankful for the corn that He gives us. He just fills our sacks overflowing them. And our money and sacks map. But boy, after a long time, He just loads a wagon. Abundantly blesses us. Abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence. Made known unto us the mystery of His will. How many wagon loads of truth have you received in all these years? The world is eating husks. So He says, go home. And we have great gospel to tell, don't we? Much to tell. So great is salvation, great love, great mercy, great grace to the poor and needy, wagons of wonder. And He commanded them, didn't He? And I thought of Psalm 3. It says, "Salvation belongeth to the Lord, and His blessing is upon His people." So He says, commanded. Thou hast commanded the blessing in Mount Zion. Verse 20, He said also, "Regard not your stuff." for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. In other words, don't bring anything. Don't bring anything. It's all provided for you. It's all provided for you. Don't bring a thing. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. And this also means forget all that stuff. Forget all that stuff. Leave it behind because you're going to have to. You can't. This is certain. You came into this world naked and you're going to go out naked and you can't take anything with you. We've got treasures. So Joseph is telling us. Didn't our Lord say this? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Wax not up. Forget all this stuff. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Treasures, unsearchable riches that you, I hadn't seen. This stuff. Don't regard this. Don't set your affection on stuff, but on treasures. That's what He's saying. That's what our Lord's saying. And the children of Israel did so. Verse 21. Did so. And Joseph gave wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave provision for the way. And to all of them He gave changes around. He just gives and gives and gives and gives. No, they didn't do a thing. He just gave. And He giveth and He giveth and He giveth more grace. And I guarantee you, once again, as they headed out on that journey, He didn't leave them to themselves, did He? You reckon He sent anyone to watch them all the way home. You know He did. And our Father doth too. But to Benjamin, and He gave them changes of raiment. You don't think I'd skip over that? Every one of God's people have that robe of righteousness. They all wear the same. It's the righteousness of saints. Christ's robe. And Benjamin, He gave 300 pieces of silver. Christ has the price of atonement. And 5 changes of raiment. And to his father, verse 23, after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt. 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father. By the way, corn, bread, meat, all the good things. This is what they brought to Jacob to see. And isn't that what we see? And isn't all of that Christ Himself? Huh? All of these things. He's the bread. He's the meat. He said, my body is meat indeed. Christ is the corn. And we have it all in Him when He brings this to us. So verse 24. He sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, now this is important. He said in verse 24, see that you fall not out by the way. The last thing he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. Oh my, how many warnings do we have in Scripture? You're a partaker if you hold fast the beginning of your confidence, steadfast to the end. Hold fast. Don't fall out by the way. Keep your eye. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Look straight on. Looking unto Jesus. We've got a great cloud of witnesses who've gone before us. And they're right now in the land of Goshen with Joseph, with our Lord. Look right on. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't regard this stuff now, or you'll fall out by the way. Don't fall asleep in vanity fair. Keep your eyes on Christ. You're going back home to get your Father. That's the only reason. You're going to bring Him back. Now, and I should have just passed over this again. Verse 15, it says, when He kissed them, then the brethren could talk to Him. I almost passed that again. See, they weren't saying a word when He revealed Himself to them, their mouths were stopped. They had nothing to say. They were guilty. But when He finally kept assuring them of who He was and what the Father had done for them through Him, and He finally kissed them, assured them, I'm not angry with you. I love you. You're my brethren. Then they could talk. Then they could speak and they communed with Him. All right, now, verse 25. Here's our story tonight. And so they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob, their father. And they told him. They told him exactly what Joseph said to tell him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he's governor over all the land of Egypt. And that's it. That was the message. And again, isn't that exactly what Peter preached at Pentecost? Isn't that the message every true gospel preacher preaches? Christ lives. Lives. And he's Lord over all. And to him every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Now bow the knee to Christ. And in him we live and move and have our being. And our life is in his hands. He's Lord over all. You're going to die if you don't receive something from his hands. Now come. Come with us and bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to see the Son, or else you'll die. Isn't that the message we preach? And our Lord sent us with that message like he sent Joseph sent his brethren with that message. And Jacob's heart fainted. You see, out of the heart of the issues of life, this is what the Lord does when he first reveals himself to all his children. He pricks the heart, doesn't he? Not the head. Not the head, but the heart. We may learn some doctrine, but until the Lord breaks our heart, until he reveals himself. Didn't Paul say that? When it pleased the Lord who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me. In me. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Meaning that your heart has a need for Christ. Your heart has a desire for Christ. Your heart that is broken over sin sees Christ as your all. As Christ as your righteousness. Christ as your sin payment. Christ as your all. The heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made. And I bet you Joseph couldn't say anything. Jacob couldn't say anything either. He was dumbstruck. He couldn't believe it. And you know, I remember when the Lord was revealing himself to me, and I loved what I was hearing. I loved it. And I believed it. And I remember it pricked my heart. But I thought, this can't be for me. I love it. I want it. But this can't be for me. I'm too sinful. Surely this is not for me. Surely God, I'm not one of his. Surely Christ didn't die for me. Well, Jacob's going to find out. He sent word for you, Jacob. Now, what you think about that? They went a long ways from Egypt all the way back to Canaan. I forgot how long it was, but it was a long trip. For one man. They went all the way back for one fellow. Jacob. They got to. Jacob's got to come. This whole thing started with Jacob. Huh? Where God went to Jacob and said, Jacob, you're the one I've chosen. You're the one. Not Esau. Jacob have a love. And God made all the promises to Jacob. He said, I'm going to bring... Remember when God, back in chapter 28, I think that's it. Let me see that. Yes, go back there quickly. Jacob, chapter 28. Isaac blessed Jacob. And here, and then God spoke to him on the way. Jacob, in chapter 28, says, Isaac, the father said to Jacob, in verse 3, God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger. Which God gave to Abraham. And that's exactly what Jacob ends up. And then down in verse 13, the Lord came to him where Jacob was lying on those stones for his pillow. His pillar. In verse 13, he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham. I am Joseph. I am God. And verse 14, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Verse 15, I am with thee, will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. I will not leave thee until I've done that which I've spoken to thee of. So Joseph gave the command. There's somebody missing. Now you go all the way back. You leave the 99, and you go off to that one man, Jacob. We can't continue without him. The blessing of God is for Jacob and his son. So they did. They did. They went back. And look at verse 27 in our text, chapter 45. So they did. They told Jacob of all the words of Joseph. They said exactly what he told them to tell. No more, no less. Which he'd said unto them. So Jacob heard, didn't he? He heard the gospel. He heard the word. He heard what Joseph said for them to say. And all of God's people hear the words of Christ. Didn't Christ say that? He said that to some Pharisees one time. He said, why is it that you don't believe? Why can't you? Because you cannot. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, if God hears God's word, then you can't hear because you're not my sheep. But all my sheep will hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And they will hear exactly what he says, and they'll believe and receive it all. And verse 27 says, and when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him. Now, Jacob's an old man at this time. He's 100 and he lived 17 more years, by the way. 17 more years. And he's 100 and, what is it? He was 140. 47, so he's 130 years old. He's too old to make this trip. If Joseph said, tell Jacob to come, he couldn't have come if he wanted to. He's too old. He's too feeble. He's not able. Oh, that's not what our Lord does, then. He sends a wagon to carry. Brother Mac read Isaiah 46 tonight, where it says, I'll carry you all the days of your life. To your hoary head I'll carry you. That same book talks about the God that Bel and Nebo that everybody else carries. False God that people have to carry. But our God says to us, you don't carry me. I carry you. I've carried you from the womb and I'll carry you to your grave. I am he that beareth you and carrieth you. And God has sent, I thought of several, there could be several titles to this message. It would tell it all, wouldn't it? The wagons are here for you. Or the chariots are here for you. Like Elijah, the Lord sent a chariot for him, didn't he? Or this, the sun is sent to fetch you. The sun is sent to fetch you. Or we're going to be carried home to see the sun. Carried home to see the sun. And when Jacob heard, and when Jacob saw, and they sent for him, and he saw all the blessings, all the grace and the mercy and the goodness. And when we see all the mercy and grace and the goodness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, it says his spirit was revived. We're quickened together. When we hear, when we see, when the Holy Spirit comes to fetch us, we're quickened together with Christ, don't we? And here's what he has. He says just a few words, doesn't he? Here's his confession. And this is mine. When he heard that Joseph lived, that the son lived, and he sent to carry him all the way home, he said, it's enough. That's all I need. He sang that song, Jesus Christ is all I need. We should have sung it. All I need, all I need. It's enough, he said. It's enough. And then he said this. He said, Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. This is his resolve. And this is his confession. And this is his absolute belief. He believes this. This is what he wants to do. This is what he believes is going to happen. And he's even sure about it. He doesn't say, I sure hope I see him. You see, before he didn't believe. This kind of just now struck me. But before he couldn't believe it. But now, after hearing and seeing and having all this revealed to him all this grace and mercy, it's enough to make him believe. And he says, I will. I'll go. Like Rebecca at the well. You remember that? When finally Abraham's servant, you know, he took all that he could to show her. And wait till we get to when Joseph and Jacob unite again. We're not going to do that tonight. We're saving that for a whole message. And they're going to weep a while, and we probably will too. But when Abraham's servant showed Rebekah, the bride for Isaac, all those things, he said, will you go? I'll go. And that's what Jacob says, and that's what every son of Adam says. I'll go. I got to go see him before I die. And this is like, does that remind you of a story? Is there another story in the Bible just like that? Where God told a man, you won't die till you see the son? Simeon? Luke chapter 2, Simeon. I'll close with a few points, but you got to see this because that's the Old Testament. Jacob said the same thing that Simeon said in the New. Because it's the same. All are going to see the Son, whether it be Jacob or Simeon. You or me. We're all going to see the Son before we die. Or else we will. And he that seeth the Son will never die, our Lord said. And Luke chapter 2, verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was upon him. And this is what the Holy Ghost does unto John, every one of God's people. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Every single son of God, the Holy Spirit comes to and reveals Christ before they die. And he came by the Spirit in the temple, verse 27, when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. He that was made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Simeon's Redeemer, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I'm going to go see him before I die. And he did. Here are four things. It's life to see the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that seeth the Son. Didn't our Lord say that this is the Father's will, that of everyone that seeth the Son, I'll raise him up. The last time, believeth on him, I'll raise him up. Hath life, everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. And all who see the Son will never die. He'll never die. See him as he is, alive, reigning, ruling, Lord over all, the true Christ, the only way to God. And then all who see the Son will live with him forever. Old Jacob ended up with Joseph. And that's where he died. That's where he was forever, for the rest of his days. And all who see the Son are going to live with him forever, seated with him in the heavenlies. Where do you reckon Joseph put Jacob at the table? Where do you reckon Joseph put Jacob at the table? He put him on one side and he had Benjamin on the other. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. All of his sons. He said, you're going to sit with me. Like old Mephibosheth. And in all that see the Son, when they really see the Son, if anybody sees and hears the gospel of Christ and sees His glory and see all that they need in Christ, every single one that really sees Christ says, that's enough. That's all I need. All I need. Now, what do you think Jacob was taken up with for the remainder of his days? And I went ahead and read the rest of the story, all the way to chapter 50. And Jacob never says one word about Egypt. He never one time says, wow, isn't Egypt great? He never says one time, "This is the best food I've ever had." He never says one, "Look at all this raiment." He never says one time about any of that stuff. He has eyes for one person. He's just happy to be with Joseph, the son of him. He has eyes for the Lord of Egypt, Joseph. And people, this is just so. Everybody who really sees the Son, who sees the Lord Jesus Christ, after that, you don't care too much about anything else. And that's a fact. And if anybody does, I don't think they've seen Christ. Old Jacob, he had only eyes for Joseph, and God's people have only eyes for Christ. There was a time when I saw no beauty in Christ that I should desire. You? Every one of you. Such were some of you. Saw no beauty in Christ that you should desire Him. And yet you saw beauty in everything else. And everything else you desired. And your affection was set on everything else. But buddy, when the Lord turns that around, it's opposite, isn't it? It's opposite to Him. Oh, you know, a beautiful sunrise. And oh, that's God's creation. And isn't that nice? But the longer you live, and the more you see of His glory, it's just stuff in it. It's all fading like the leaf. All the beauty is the flower of the grass. It's like grass. And old Jacob was just happy. His life was Joseph. His life was Joseph. He was just happy. He didn't care about anything after that. I'm now with Joseph, with the Son. And he was his life. He was his satisfaction for 17 years. Seeing and dwelling with the Son. How about you? How about you? All right. Stand with me. Our Lord, Your Word is beautiful. It's glorious. It's marvelous. We know it's Thy Word because it is so. It is so glorious, so beautiful. Such a glorious picture. You've given us eyes to see. It's beautiful. Such a clear picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though it is a picture and a shadow and a type, it's all clear to them to understand. It clearly speaks of Christ. How we thank You that You made Him known to us and in us, Lord. We do desire Him. We do say with David of old, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire into His temple." We do desire that, oh Lord. But set our affection more fully on things above where Christ sits, and remove our affection from other things, from stuff, perishing things of clay, born but for one brief day. Oh Lord, set our affection on Christ, and let us now in this earth, while we still live here for who knows how many years, abide with Thee. And the Word abide in us. And commune with Thee. And have our eyes upon Thee. And gather with Your people around Thy table to feast on Christ and His gospel. Do it, Lord, for us, we pray, for Thy name's sake. In Christ's name we pray and ask these things and have met here tonight and worship. Amen. You're dismissed.